Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You can read all of his work at brownszone.com. He is Mr. Scott Petrak, or Petrick, if you listen on the Zoom calls. Hello, Scott.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Scott. How are you, buddy?
I'm good.
I admire you for not correcting our Browns individual there and just saying, it's Petrak, but that's okay. Very big of you.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hey, thank you, Doug Marrone, for not kicking extra points and taking one off the board. We appreciate that very much.
I know. That kind of get lost a little bit in the,
yeah,
the crazy ending and the fact that Baker was hit or miss and, Nick Chubb sealing the game and the Browns escaping and getting 8-3. But there were plenty of coaching decisions to kind of second guess. And I think you start with Marrone. Not only does he take a point off the board that changes the scope of the second half, if you move the ball to the 1 yard line, you got to run it there. And I know he said that the Browns were loaded up against a run, but if you take the penalty to go to the one, to go for 2 points, then run the ball up the middle with a running back that's third in the league. And instead they throw a fade with a quarterback that hasn't played all year. Doesn't make any sense. And then it forced them to go for two at the end. And that's a 50-50 proposition, and the Browns got the benefit.
Just diving into the game a little bit, I need to, if we're going to sit here and criticize Baker Mayfield, we should probably criticize all the interceptions he threw. Oh, wait a minute. He hasn't thrown one in four games. Like, I'm sitting here shaking my head. Look, I'm not asking him to be the world's greatest quarterback. He's doing exactly what this team needs, winning games. It's amazing to me how he splits our fan base.
Yeah, but he also hadn't thrown a touchdown in the previous three games.
Did he throw a touchdown yesterday?
Well, yesterday, yes.
Yeah, okay. The weather brutal?
Andy, your point, though, is right on. It's kind of polarizing.
Yeah, it's nuts. What do you think, Scott?
Yeah, it's very interesting, and I think it's kind of the state of where we are is in sports. We're always looking way ahead, right? So it's not about yesterday with Baker because he played fine, right? He completes 65% of his passes, and he throws two touchdowns and no picks, and they get the win. But it's about, hey, should the Browns extend him? Should the Browns pick up the fifth-year option on his rookie contract? Is he the long-term answer? Do you have to go find another quarterback? Everybody is in such a hurry to make these decisions, and I just think that's the climate and the culture we're in, and I don't think that's always good for enjoyment of the games. I don't think that's always good for the evaluation process, because it shouldn't be about one throw where he misses Rashard Higgins. It shouldn't be about one game. It needs to be about more. And, yes, all these things will factor in, and, yes, Andrew Berry watches these games, and I'm sure he thinks, man, is this my guy or not my guy? But that decision does not have to be made on November 30th, right? It needs to be made in March and April and May when those contract decisions come up. So I think it's a little bit frustrating. I think it's, a little bit annoying that there's a constant argument between fans. But there are two sides to the Baker thing, right? He's playing well enough for them to win. He's done a really good job cutting back on those turnovers. Four games without a pick is important. And it's important for a guy that threw 21 interceptions last year and threw 7 interceptions in the first 7 games this year. But you also can't look at some of the missed throws and be okay with that, especially for a guy whose calling card was supposed to be accuracy. I think that's where I keep coming back. We watch all these NFL games and quarterbacks miss throws. But Baker's thing, the reason he was the number one pick in the draft is because he was supposed to be so accurate. So when he misses routine easy throws, I think it kind of chips away at what everyone thought was his greatest strength, and then you wonder about his long-term ability to be a top, whatever, 10 or 12 quarterback in the league.
And the thing that that comes back to is I think everybody, because, and, you know, it, draft position means something when you're the number one overall pick or an extremely high pick. And you expect that guy to be really good. Baker's good. But I don't think he's achieved the really good yet, Scott, which goes back to what you said about looking ahead. Okay, well, do you invest huge money in a good quarterback? And so that's why it's such a perplexing situation. And to be honest, if we can remove ourselves from, you know, being Browns fans and watching this team, covering this team on a daily basis, that's why this is kind of fascinating.
It is. And when we look at around the league at other quarterbacks, so much of our evaluation and where we rank and judge guys is based on how they play in big games, right? In the playoffs, that's when all eyes are on Patrick Mahomes or all eyes are on Jimmy Garoppolo, and you form an opinion based on that, and that matters. So I think the fact is Baker's going to play in several big games coming down the stretch, and it starts Sunday in Tennessee, and then it's Baltimore in a Monday night game. Then it's at Pittsburgh, versus Pittsburgh in the finale, and then it's probably a playoff game. And if Baker plays well in these games, I think that will calm a lot of the conversation down. And you say, okay, it doesn't mean he's solidified as a top 10 or 12 guy, but it gives you hope as a fan base. I think it gives you confidence as an organization to say, hey, we can move forward with this guy. He's shown us stuff, but we just haven't seen that from him yet, but he's going to get plenty of opportunities.
Again, we sit here and we want to talk about learning. I still think Kevin Stefanski's learning every game. And I wonder, as he walked out of yesterday's game, and I'm looking forward to today's press conference, what did he learn yesterday about coaching in the NFL, about fourth and one, about what kind of plays to call? What do you think?
Yeah, I think he is going to take something away from that sequence there, you know, whatever, 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. The use of challenges, the decision to throw a pass on third and inches, yes, it was wide open, right? And it looks like the right play call because all Baker has to do is put it on Kareem Hunt, and the Browns have a first down, and they probably go down and score and end the game, right? It's over. But you need your quarterback to make a throw there, and he doesn't do it. So if you'd run the ball twice, do you get a first down? Maybe, probably. If you sneak Baker Mayfield on one of those two, do you get the first down? Maybe. So I think as the play caller and the decision maker, Kevin Stefanski will take a step back and see how he could have handled that better, including maybe just kick the field goal. And you go up by two scores, and there's not the drama at the end of the game. I didn't have a big problem with him going for it on fourth and inches. I believe you should be able to get inches on fourth down there. But I also understand if you kick the field goal, we're probably not talking about the need to stop a two-point conversion. So I think that's the biggest area that Stefanski will kind of look at himself and say, okay, how can I get better? Did I like the decision-making process there?
Scott Petrak joining us from the Chronicle-Telegram. BrownsZone.com is where you can read all of his work. James Robinson rushed for over 120 yards yesterday, and he's been very good. But it's scary because Derrick Henry's coming up, and you also have James Conner in the final game, and you have who knows who for Baltimore coming up on Monday night, teams that can run the football. And you have a defense that, okay, pretty good a week ago without Myles Garrett, not as good yesterday without Miles or Denzel Ward or Ronnie Harrison. When do we start getting even more concerned about the defense, Scott, or can we be patient and let it heal up?
Well, I think the concerns start with Tennessee, Jeff. I mean, you mentioned it. It's not only is it Derrick Henry, it's okay if you put nine guys in the box for Derrick Henry and you don't have Denzel Ward, who's going to play with A.J. Brown, right? Who's going to try to cover him, the guy that can break tackles and run away from you and keeps getting better and better? I think we forget how good Myles Garrett is against the run. He didn't play against Jaguars. He was limited against the Raiders, and they gave up 208 to the Raiders. And those are the worst two rushing defense performances of the season. And I don't think it's any coincidence that Myles Garrett wasn't out there. So if he's back for the Titans, which hopefully we get some clarity from Kevin Stefanski today, that's huge for the run game. Now, it's still going to be a challenge, but having Myles Garrett back would be huge. It allows Olivier Vernon and Adrian Claiborne not to have to play almost every snap. It allows Larry Ogunjobi to get off the field on third down instead of having to play almost every snap. It just has a big domino effect. And not that Sione Takitaki has been lights out, but he's been your starter in the base defense. He was gone yesterday. Ronnie Harrison, like you mentioned, who knows, the shoulder didn't look good yesterday if he had to leave after the first play. He's been had an impact near the line of scrimmage. So the Browns are decimated. Hopefully they get a couple bodies back, at least Myles Garrett, this week. But it's going to be a huge test against Derrick Henry, and the Browns are just going to have to figure out a way to get enough stops to give their running game a chance. And that's not only against Tennessee. Like you mentioned, it's against Baltimore, the Giants, and Pittsburgh moving forward.
Scott, big picture NFL question here for you. Look, the league expanded the rosters to have extra practice team players. Teams are missing players left and right. You could argue the Browns are missing the best defensive player in the league. You can argue that. Over the last 2 weeks. Yet, for some reason, Baltimore, they didn't make Baltimore play on Thursday night. Now it looks like that game might be in jeopardy. And Denver had to play yesterday without a quarterback. And I know they broke rules. But I just the level of inconsistency is a little bit aggravating, I think, if you're sitting here watching this. And, you know, and, again, I don't have a lot of sympathy for the Steelers, but in this scenario, I kind of do. I just think they should have played the game on Thursday night. What do you think?
Well, I get what you're saying, and I'm not going to argue that there's not inconsistency within NFL rules. And I think we see it in the drug policy, right? All those times with Josh Gordon, can he come back, can he not? Feels like the league is kind of writing the rules as it goes. There's a little bit of that for me with the COVID rules. But I think the league has been consistent in one thing. It's trying to get all these games played and trying to figure out a way to get them all played. And we saw that in Denver with not having the quarterbacks. And I think there is a differentiate, or I think you can differentiate between what happened in Denver and what happened with the Ravens-Steelers game. The Ravens were still in the middle of an outbreak, right? They continue to have positive tests. They didn't know where the contact tracing wasn't done. With Denver, it was limited to the quarterbacks. They were in the room. They didn't have masks on. You take those guys out of the equation, nobody's worried about the rest of the Broncos. Nobody's worried about the Broncos giving COVID to the Saints. And I just think by Thursday, it was too hot within the Ravens organization to go play a football game. And I think that's where the league has kind of drawn that line.
Scott, thank you, sir. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
we look
Scott.
Forward to hearing you on the Zoom call coming up with Kevin Stefanski at noon.
Thanks, fellas.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.